Friday, and conference organizing, and a number of organizing also a number of events, and that we do appreciate. But we would like to hear from you as to your presentation, and then thereafter we are going to interact, ask questions where we need to ask questions, and then and then that's up to you. Thank you.
Here we go. Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much for the invitation, inviting Saki to come and present. I'd like to take the opportunity through you, Chair, to introduce myself and my colleague and tell you who we are, because I think when we roll out into the presentation, there's some things I want to tell you how we know that and why we know that and why we feel so very passionate and strongly about it. My name is Nina Freyson Pretorius. I'm currently the national chairperson for SAAKI, the Southern African Association for the Conference Industry. You'll see it doesn't say South Africa, it's Southern, because we really want to integrate the rest of Africa into the conferencing industry and really grow our region and not only within our country. So we didn't want boundaries with regards to our association. And my real job, because I don't get paid to be the national chairperson, unfortunately there's no package. That's just how these things work, as you know, Mr. Chair. In my real job, I'm a professional conference organizer. I'm the CEO of a conference company, and we specialize in international association meetings in South Africa. Most recently, we were very privileged to work on COP17 in Durban with the eThekwini municipality, and that is our area of expertise, is international association meetings. I'm also like you to be aware that I'm currently the Vice President of ICCA, which is the International Conferences and Conventions Association. They are based in Amsterdam. They are the biggest, probably most powerful, conferencing association in the world. They have got members from 86 countries, so all convention bureaus, all convention centers, large conference organizers, belong to that association. So, for example, South African Tourism is a member. All the provincial bodies are a member within South Africa. We also have the Kenyans that are members, and I serve on that board representing Africa and the Middle East, and I'm also the second vice president. So some of the information that I'm able to share with you and the colleagues here today, we have got statistical information, Chair, that we can share with you, surveys that have been done on an international level that might very much be helpful to us in the South African environment. My colleague next to me is Aideen Pringle. Aideen is the CEO or general manager for SAAKI, based in Johannesburg. And Aideen has been with us for 3 years now as SAAKI, heading up SAAKI and our organization looking after members. But in her past life, she worked for the Stanton Convention Center. And the reason why I share that with you is, once again, the understanding and the knowledge of this sector and this environment. SAAKI, just a little bit of an overview, because, you know, you get all these acronyms, you know, everyone thinks everyone else knows, and, you know, these things change so dramatically. So we were formed in 1987, and it's really to try and when conferencing really started in our country, you know, conferencing and meetings. And what we... how we operate is that whilst we've got a head office in Johannesburg, we've got branches. So we really want to speak to our grassroots members at the end of the day. We've got a branch in KwaZulu-Natal, NCB stands for Northern Territories, Western Cape and Eastern Cape. So we're really nationally represented. And that's really our vision. I don't like to do decks by PowerPoint, so I'm going to let you read that. But we really want to be the conferencing people or represent conferencing within Southern Africa. Okay. I'm going to chat a little bit about this, empowering our people and how we can do that. And I haven't included it in these slides, but I had to do a presentation last week to the KwaZulu-Natal Growth Strategy and Tourism. And I shared with those colleagues a survey that the Mexican Tourism Bureau did and the challenges that they face in the statistics. And how the growth domestic product added to the bottom line and the number of jobs that's created in that environment. And I would be happy, Chair, through you or through Jerry, to share that. It's a very, very interesting research that was done. It's a very different environment, but very similar to ours, where there's job creation and looking at how our tourism can benefit the country at large. So that is really what we want to try and do within business tourism. I have to tell you that we're the only country that really calls it business tourism. Internationally, it's not really known as business tourism. It's really conferencing association market. That's just a breakdown of our members. What is interesting, Chair, and for the colleagues here today to be aware of, is that we're a little bit dear macaque with regard to our membership, because we didn't want to alienate any members. So, for example, with this membership, those are not people or companies. They are both. We're a little bit of a mixed bag here, a bit of a smarty box. So we've got a membership fee. I think that's the next slide, ODM team. So our membership fee, if you're a person and you worked at a big, at the Stanton Convention Center, you work for a big bus company, and you want to start your own business, and you want to know how it's done, and you want to network, and you want to work with a colleague, you can join as an individual member. Then there are company members, and with those memberships, potentially the company would pay, but that would then entitle them to 3 or 6, and with a patron member, 10 members. So there's different categories so that we could make it affordable to our market. Internationally, that's not really the trend and how it works, but this works for us, and I think we need to talk to our market at the end of the day. And the thinking is that that's a $1,300, you can see that's this year's fees. Our financial year runs from June to July, and I think those are affordable. If you are going to come into a business, you own one vehicle, you want to be a small DMC, destination marketing, you want to do a bit of airport transfers, we want you to be a member, I think that that's affordable. Thank you. Then how's our board made up? We've got 16 members. We've got a chair, a vice chair, treasurer, a dean, our general manager, a secretariat. He does all our invoicing and makes sure that our statutory requirements are in order. And then our branch chair. So within each of those branches, there's a branch person that chairs, looks after it. And we find that it's very, the demographics are very different. So what happens in Eastern Cape and what happens in Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal is a little bit different. Everyone has a different function, lots of education, how to run your business, what's working, what are the challenges that members are facing. And then we've got 7 forum chairs. We changed our constitution last year to accommodate these forums, and I'll tell you what the forums are. They actually, thank you, the next slide. There we go. They actually represent specific sectors within the conference market. Now, you know, you organize conferencing. I'll tell you a little secret. My mother-in-law doesn't really know what the hell it is that I do. She thinks I'm the party girl that sits at the table and makes the food and organizes and bosses everyone around. Well, that's sort of kind of true, but I also have to do the budget. I have to select a venue. Is it appropriate to the client's needs? Is there international translation? What type of translation? So what we did is in our sector of conferencing, we made it specific. So you can see conference and event. It's very specific to people organizing. And with that new safety and security bill that came in, I think it's fabulous that we have that bill. I think we needed it. We need to regulate it. We can't have people falling off stages and hurting themselves. We have to be professional. If we want to add those jobs, if we want to add to GDP, we're going to have to act professional. And our competition is not Joburg and Cape Town and Durban. We're not going to fight with each other. Our competition is the global market. So venues, that's another thing. We've, Aideen, I can't believe that she's still alive sitting here next to me, but she worked with the Tourism Grading Council very closely. And we were very passionate about making sure that that grading for venues works. So that when an international client or a corporate client chooses a venue, that there's certain criteria, he knows what he's going to get. Are we going to have bottled water? Is there going to be electricity? Or does he want to just have a bush getaway? He doesn't need electricity. He wants to feel the African heat is fabulous. Exhibitions, also very important. Within the conferencing sector, if you don't have exhibitions, there's not enough money from registration revenue, government subsistence or support. You have to have an exhibition component. So, for example, if you do the water conference, the guy filling the pumps for the filter devices to the municipalities, they want to come and show those pumps. So exhibition has become a very important part. They call it confix when it's part of a conference. So it's not a trade show. It's not the bridal fair or the sex show or the babe, Baba and Dava. it's actually talking about whatever the conference. So that is a separate section, destination marketing. I think with the advent of a number of, for example, in the Eastern Cape, where we've got the new Nelson Bay tourism, I think it's a very good initiative, but I think we need to make sure that those people who are playing in the global market are aptly and appropriately representing South Africa and all of us as a brand at the end of the day. Because it doesn't help that I look smart and you look smart, but the person that's then talking doesn't actually understand the environment. So we all need to be on the same level, because how well they market the destination is going to affect all of us. So we're one team at the end of the day. The other one that we had there was transport. It's been a bit of a challenge in as far as we only had wheels guys. So the guys with the wheels on board. Most recently, we were really delighted that South African Airways came on board. They are now a member of SAARC-E. And I think, you know, how do you get people to a conference? You need to have airlines. You need to have AXA involved. You need to have the wheels. So we really want to work quite closely with potentially the transport department. We want to work with Home Affairs, because, you know, internationally there's a trade show called IMEX. It's hosted in Frankfurt every May, this year from the 22nd to the 24th of May. And at that trade show, if you are exhibiting, it is a huge trade show. If you're going to ever go to that, please make sure you wear your tackies and not your nice smart high heel shoes, because it is so vast and huge where you have to walk, and all the countries exhibit there and participate. So anybody exhibiting or anybody visiting, you get a visa waiver. You don't have to pay. You don't have to go through National Intelligence and Clearance Agency. You just get the visa. It's not difficult. And so those are the things that make that destination. They understand the importance of bringing all the international global buyers to a market, getting them there, cheap fares. That is what we're working against. I think that at SAARC-E is what we want to really try and build those relationships within these forums. We also then have services. It's a little bit of a melting pot. It's not 100% cool or organized at this point in time. But it's really the marketing guys. Who's marketing? How are they doing communication? Websites? Branding? T-shirts? So potentially a small business coming into the market wanting to get involved, there's an opportunity. Come and learn. Network with the other members. Find out what the transport guys are. How can we provide goods and services? So that sector is a little bit of a melting pot at the moment. I don't want to bore you with all these slides, and I can see that you all have the presentation. And there are a number of challenges that we have as SAARC-E, and what we would like to work on as an association that represents this sector of the market. We've been fighting and flying the flag and shouting and ululating and all those good stuff with a minister to just advise them that, you know, leisure tourism and business tourism, the conference market, is a different thing. It's not the same thing. And I think it's a process. I think it's been acknowledged, and I think it's improved, and it's actually been okay, all right, they're not talking nonsense, those people from SAARC-E. So I think we're really, really delighted that we can work with the National Department of Tourism, work with the Minister, work with South African Tourism, because a lot of the budget has been spent on leisure tourism, which is fabulous, and we need that. But, you know, those chaps that come here for a conference, they all fly business class, so South African Airways will make a lot of money. They're going to stay in a hotel. They're going to have some money, and we hope that they then check it out and say, yes, this is a lekker place for South Africa. It's safe, the food is nice, the people are so friendly, the service is good. My next holiday with my family and my mother-in-law, I'm coming to South Africa. So that is really what we want to do, and I think we just feel a little bit that leisure tourism has led the market and not necessarily the value of business tourism. So that is really what we want to create awareness with. We also like very much the quality assurance if we're going to have international people. So we like the Tourism Business Grading Council, that the venues are graded, that they're regulated. If a client sees a 4-star, he knows what he's going to get. We're working very closely with Tendi Kaneni and her team. We like working with them. I think they have a number of challenges themselves. I don't want Tendi's job for love or money or any car or aeroplane, because I think it's a hard job. you know, you just grade the venue, then they sell it, or then they don't have those hangers. It's a hard job, but I think we need to continue with that to make sure that that accreditation is there. I think one of the big challenges that we have within Saki, we have a youth section. Each of our branches actually fundraises and identifies a student that we pay for, normally a second or third year student, that then we would take through, we would do in-service training, we'd pay for that. But you know what? We're not able to do more than that. And we're really having a huge challenge. We are working with services, CETA, but we've got challenges there, Chairman. And we would like to talk about that. And how can we make it better? And what can we do? One of the things I think is that I can see you all, there's some younger ones and a few older ones, but I think we're all in the same sort of category here, so I'm allowed to say that, is that I think the youth of today, we've got a bit of a challenge. If they do their course, it's very expensive. The mom has to pay. You know what it's like. These school fees are killing us all. We pay those school fees, and then I think the kids think that they're going to come in and be the general manager of the hotel. And I don't think that that's possible. And I think those are one of the challenges. I think that's potentially the approach, the attitude, the expectation that we need to change. And in tourism, you know, it's not such a nice job always. You're dealing with people. It's very challenging. The hours are long. Your feet are getting sore. There's not. It looks very glamorous, but it's not really. But you know, if we get it right, I think we are going to create, we will create more jobs. We will get more revenue into our country. And I think that whole education and approach, we really need to look at how we attract people. From Saki's side, you know, we actually have capacity to look at in-service training. So for example, in this sector, I don't want to be involved in technical because I'm not that technical. Otherwise, I would have helped the gentleman here with the laptop. Don't worry about it. It's absolutely fine. I don't know about technical stuff. But you know, these young kids, they love technical. So it doesn't help a young man comes into our industry and I put him in the kitchen, for example, to learn. It's not going to really help him. He must maybe go and work with one of the big IT companies. Let them learn. Let them see how things work. And actually gain experience that way, because that's the only way that we learn. So we are able, with our members, we've got a huge resource to actually offer them in-service training to help them with that. But how do we go about that, getting those students, getting them exposed, letting them understand how it works? Oh, and hold on, this technical is not so lack. Hold on, I like the venue. I like to do marketing. I like communication. We need to give them that exposure within our field. And I think there's a big gap that we need to fill in some way. I most recently attended the ICA management finance meeting in Singapore. One of their challenges is getting young people into tourism because there are so many other jobs that pay more, so to get them into tourism is a huge challenge. So I think we face that sort of challenge. Maybe their market is much more educated and sophisticated than us because, you know, it's a whole different concept in Singapore, for example. But I think there's similar challenges that they face getting young people in. Most of us are getting a little bit old now. We need that youth to come in. So that's a challenge that we grapple with and we really want to deliver on. And we have been trying to work with services, CETA, but it has been hugely challenging. I think there is change that we can see at the moment, but there is a certain amount of frustration, Chair, from our side. I think we've chatted about the greening and the service excellence. I think I've touched on that. I think one of the other challenges, of Chair, that I'd like to share with you and the colleagues today is, for example, if we want to bid to host a large international conference. Now, I mentioned to you ICA. In the world, there are a lot of conferences that are 5,000 or 10,000. If you go to Japan, a national conference will be that big. We don't have that because we don't have the demographics. Our location is different. But conferencing, the normal average size of a conference is 400 to 500 people, which is fabulous. It's nice money, the venues are busy, people are eating, they're using transport, they're using our airlines. Those are the type of, that's the type of business that we need to target. But when we bid internationally, and tourism, the tourism department is fabulous, they're great, all the convention bureaus and tourism bureaus help us. But for example, if we bid for a medical conference, I recently bid for the World Endo-Urology Conference. That's the urologists that go in with the scopes, I don't know, you know, lots of blood there. But they the client went to Japan, and we had very good support from the Department of Tourism, the Convention Bureau. But you know, when you go and support, for example, the client walked into Japan and he had to present against London, against France, and they came with a whole entourage and the NEC or whatever they call it in France for health. Because, you know, whilst it's a tourism thing that the people are going to eat and drink beer and shop and all of that stuff, fabulous, but it's also about legacy, about education, about another subsector supporting why do we have it. You don't get that support. It just doesn't happen. It's very challenging. It's a problem. And I'm not talking about money. We're not asking for money. We're saying, listen, health, whoever it is that you're working with, if it's non-destructive testing and it's science and technology or if it's athletics or whatever, the tourism, we're getting the support. But we need to have an understanding across the board that the health guys or the these guys or the whoever, public sector, which other government department, they need to understand the importance of what it is that we're trying to achieve. We're not getting that support. It's not happening. The other countries are getting that. They've got buy-in. They've got money. They're ready. They understand what the value of this is. So that's one of the challenges that we face as a sector, that we don't get that. I think I mentioned the visa matter earlier. You know, that visa waiver. I don't want any baddies to come into our country. When we do online registration, we are get a lot of people that want to register for the conference, and say, for example, it's a midwifery conference, and there's a chap, and he's from, I don't know where, he's definitely not a midwife, we delete him, we won't give him a visa letter as the organizer, we understand the people, but the real people that want to come, let's give them a visa waiver. So instead of having 800 people at our conference, we have 1,500, everybody's happy. Now, so we need to like really think on our feet and be competitive with our global partners. Chair, I'm happy to answer questions now, but, if that is all right with you, and I think that the notes speak for themselves. I have shown the rankings in the presentation from ICA Stats. I think that's another challenge that we face. ICA, basically each country has to give in their stats. How many international events have you hosted in order to get a country rating, a city rating, a destination rating? And we are not able to give that. It's a challenge that we've grappled with for a long time. People are quite concerned that if they give information, someone might steal their client, even if the events have already happened. And Dean, I think you had that at the Sandton Convention Center. And so our rankings internationally are not seen very good. And people look at that, Vienna, number one, we want to go there. So you can see we've got, I think, statistics, getting accurate statistics. What is the value? What is the value that the tourism sector can get? How do we go about it? And then also getting statistics to find out what the need is. That's a big challenge that we would really like to work with the National Department of Tourism and yourself, Chair. How do we get that so that we know what we're talking about? Because I think that's a huge challenge that we all face, to have accurate statistics. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pretoria, for a very, very articulate presentation. But I think we are not going to let Ms. Pringle scot-free, because we know the Sandton Convention Center. Before we interact with him, just give us one sentence about her experiences.
Well, okay. As Nina mentioned, I worked at Sandton Convention Center 4 months short of 10 years. So I was almost part of the furniture while I worked there. It was a very gratifying experience for me. I started off there as the exhibition specialist at the convention center. And then I moved into the association sector, which was equally as interesting, and a lot more difficult to persuade associations within South Africa to do their conferences at a magnificent venue such as Sandton Convention Center. However, we had started to get some inroads into that industry. And I was very fortunate then to be approached by SAKI to take up the leadership role of SAKI in the national office, which is, as Nina mentioned earlier, she is not a paying person within the structures of SAKI, whereas myself and two staff within the office are. We keep the office going. We are the ones that process all the documents from the department. We are the ones that put together workshops so that we can get intelligible, worthwhile feedback from our members. Because I'm sure you, as the various departments, know that when one sends out a blanket invitation to stakeholders to give feedback into a particular document, it very often doesn't happen. So SAKI is very, very conscious of the fact that we do need to contribute to all of the documents that we are sent from the department. We have arranged workshops last year so that we could give feedback into the draft tourism bill. We've previously given input into the NTSS, and I think that I hope that the inputs that we have given are incorporated into the documents in the end. We service our members. We've got a number of members, and as you know, people change from job to job. So we do provide, I think, an excellent service to our members, and at the same time, being very cognizant of what the NTSS is and what the deliverables on the NTSS are from the department, as well as our input into the DTI's BEE bill, and as well as the charter of the Department of Tourism. We're very active. We are a very active member also of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. We serve on their board, and we serve on the boards also of Services CETA. We give input into certification, intelligence, as well as working on projects to give designations to our organizers and our event managers. So it is a busy office, and we work very hard, and we have incredible leadership at the helm of SAKI, who are our board members, and in particular Nina. And I would like to use this opportunity to thank Nina as well for the incredible vision that she gives to SAKI, and we, you know, we enact and carry out the vision.
First, before other members ask questions, I just would like to know, as the chairperson, what exactly do we as Parliament have to do to optimize your performance, particularly in increasing numbers and in making sure that you deliver better? I know that there is the issue of visas, there is the issue of the tourism and hospitality, the theater, the sector.
Yeah.
And you talked about the services sector, but you did not mention that sector, that tourism and hospitality is a sector. And then the youth development, you take only one student per annum because of the limited means you are having. But you did not talk about the partnerships between yourself and CATA, because that is the organization that should work with tourism. And then you just mentioned the issue of the convention, the bureau. But it is young. How old is it? Is it about 9 months
since
old?
Since November.
It's about 3 months old. So, but I'm sure that you have given an input into that. And we are happy to hear that you have worked with the Mexicans, who are having a very thorough approach in their tourism development as well. So we really appreciate that you are also having a comment on the coming bill. We are going to have that bill, I think, second term, to make it into law. And if you wish to come and make a further presentation, I think we shall consider it as a committee. But I just wanted to know, given the different partnerships, what do you think we can do as Parliament to optimize the performance?
We have served for 2 consecutive years on the Services CETA Board in the capacity of the Chamber, the Events Chamber. And as you know, there has been some turmoil within the Services CETA itself. Now, our members are also split amongst the CAF CETA, that is the hospitality CETA, but somewhere, and I'm not sure how it came about, but a number of years ago, before I was involved, and so I have no real history on it, there was a decision taken that this part of the sector of the business tourism should go into services CETA. The venues and the hotels, they all are categorized with CAF CETA. And we have served for, as I said, for 2 years on the Events Chamber Board until all the challenges came with the CEO at the time. All our efforts seem to have just come to an absolute grinding halt. The administrator has now managed to put the services CETA back on the road, and I think that there were things that had been asked of the various associations to comply with due diligence in order to serve on the structures of the services CETA. Those had not been complied with in the past because of the various challenges that had been experienced within the services CETA. We are now being asked to comply with a whole different set of criteria, which is very onerous on us. We are a non-profit organization. We're a Section 21 registered company. It's very difficult because the services CETA, as I say, they are beginning to get themselves back onto the road again, but it's very much taking 5 steps forward and 8 steps back. So, you know, the communication isn't good. We had a meeting a week ago with the services CETA with regards to what the requirements are so that we could comply with all the requirements, and we were told that we needed to change our constitution. As you know, it's not that easy to change a constitution of an association. It can only be done at an annual general meeting. If you do have a special general meeting, it costs the association unbudgeted and unnecessary money. We explained to them that we would only be able to change the constitution, first of all, with a mandate from our members, and also it would only be able to be done in July. This, we were told that that's fine, but it would actually then preclude us to participate on the same level as we have done in the past. There also seems to be some confusion as to whether there's a Canadian certification that the services CETA is adopting, which speaks to our industry, which will eventually give event organizers, event coordinators and event managers a designation behind their name. And in this way, it will elevate the professionalism and the education of our industry. We have now heard that this has been postponed because of the opening of Parliament, and we couldn't quite understand that because we didn't think that ministers of the various departments would actually accept an invitation to a launch of that kind. We thought that perhaps it would be more in the realm of the DG to attend those kinds of launches. But the Canadian delegation has been postponed again to March. So these are the things that cause an immense amount of frustration with SAPI, because we spend an inordinate amount of time serving on these various boards and bodies, and it just doesn't seem to come to fruition.
If I may answer that, originally
there was there's two certifications. The one is called CMP. It's a meeting planners course. I think within SAPI we've got accreditation where if you're a conference organizer you need to get accredited, and Grant Thornton does it. So you have to pay a little bit of money, and there are different levels, and Grant Thornton does that. So in addition to that, there's an international course called CMP. It's owned by the Council for Health and CICID.
The International Congress.
International Council for, and so internationally, the CMP course, for example, is really well known. So a number of our members embarked on doing the course, and it was also financially supported by the CETA. The CETA paid some money, and you paid some money, and it would be really great if we're looking at the Safety and Security Bill. Organizers are sorted out, you know, the transport, the wheels guys are all sorted out, so that we've got a professional standard within this sector. And that was going ahead, that was being supported, and then all of a sudden it wasn't being supported anymore, and the Canadian approach was taken. So there's like a whole discord with not really listening to, hold on a moment, what is it? Potentially both courses could be appropriate. You know what I mean? So maybe if you're at entry level, maybe the Canadian course will be good for you. So you could have both, as long as there's some sort of certification, you understand what the expectation is. So I think there's not really an understanding of what needs to be done, and not really consultation. And I think that with the new administrator, we're hoping that it will improve, because I think previously whatever we said felt on deaf ears. I mean, I think that seems at the past. But for example, it created a lot of unhappiness. There's a lot of negativity towards services CETA. For example, we also were, about 3 years ago, we have our annual conference, and Service CETA was going to be involved and help with an education process. Our conference is 3 days long. We really educate our members. We get international speakers to come in. And they were going to sponsor a program, and at number 99 pulled out of that financial commitment. So all of a sudden, it's a situation where you're Section 21, we make hardly any profits, we have resources to keep our office running and service our members, our website, and facilitate. So that's really what it is now pulling out. So what must Parliament do? I think that sort of behaviour and lack of understanding of the sector is a concern. And I think proper consultation, and I think that's how our government has always been, is being consultative, being inclusive. And I think, unfortunately, having the wrong person at the head has been negative to us as a sector and as to people at the end of the day. And I think we need to re-evaluate that. We will work with Service CETA going forward because we believe the value in it, and we're committed to that. But I think there are some things. Whoever gets put in charge needs to understand that it's not only one or the other. It needs to be inclusive as well. The Convention Bureau. SAPI was very, very involved in making sure that Convention Bureau came about. What we really asked for was a bid fund. So that if you want to bid for big events, you needed to, there should have been criteria to bid and to have it managed. I know that the Minister has now put it under South African Tourism, because I think that's potentially the best place for it. We're very happy with it. We support it. We will continue to do that. I think we need to be mindful of what that Convention Bureau does, how it gets business, how it drives business, so that point of call does not make the decision where the business is going to be. So I think, once again, there's a little bit of a prickly situation. We need to be mindful of the role and responsibility of that Convention Bureau and how it actually works. So we will, I know that they're busy formulating it, getting the staff sorted out at South African Tourism. We'll continue to work with them, we'll lobby, we'll shout, we'll say what we think, we'll support. But there is concern within our sector as to how it works and how the rollout is and what is the role and responsibility. And not to stand on the toes of the other tourism bureaus, so Housing Tourism, because they still have an important role to play in our mind. If you look internationally, It's not the National Convention Bureau that gets the business, it's still the local guys. And I think that's a good thing for business and employing and empowering people at a local level as well. So we are a bit concerned with regards to that. Would we like to have more students that we sponsor? Yes, we don't have money. The branches raise money from their functions, so they have a function, you pay $150 and you get some breakfast and a little bit of money, and that is how our branches actually fundraise to sponsor these students. If we've got a little bit of money, normally the branch that has hosted the conference, you've got a bit of a profit from the conference. National gets a little bit of money to keep us ticking over and run our office, then the branch will sponsor. I know in KwaZulu-Natal, because I'm quite active there, at one year we had like the ladies who were the selection committee, they weren't in the finance committee. Oh, but there's three that we want. So we said, okay, well, how can we sponsor? What are we going to do? How are we going to fund it? So the potential and the people and the students are there. There are some fabulous children coming through. Really, we would like to sponsor more. We would like to do more, but it's a capacity thing. And I think Saki's role is not a training institute. We are representative of the market. So we need to be, we're not gonna do the CMP course, we might endorse it or facilitate it. But yes, we would like to sponsor more people. We would like to get involved in that in-service training. I think we can do that and not step on any training provider's toes and offer that.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to check that in the presentation they said they started in 1987, but they only mentioned three provinces. So I want to understand what is happening about other provinces. Thank you.
In addition to that, I wanted to understand maybe there's a challenge in terms of advertising this company, because at least for it to be started in 1987, but they're then very low membership, you know. If we're looking at the state of the membership, it is a challenge. So what might be the challenge of that? So I'm partly covered. I'm covered with the service sector, because I wanted to ask what exactly are the challenges with that sector. At least last week, we tried to explain challenges that we are faced with that entity. The other thing I wanted to understand is the support of SA Tourism. How can they support this entity? Because really, it is very important to have this. And also, when I'm envisaging to advertise this company in other provinces that it doesn't have, we have four provinces, other provinces, you are not there. Why are you not there? How can we ask the committee assist in terms of advertising this vehicle so that at least all the provinces is there, you know? Maybe sometimes there are some challenges in terms of maybe people don't see benefit of them being part of this thing. What exactly do you think is maybe the challenges of this company? Okay, I pause there.
Chairperson, first of all, I would like to apologize joining you late. I'm just there from Johannesburg. Well, I was trapped in a traffic. You know, at times when you are attending such meetings, you need to start in time. Start when the word is introduced, people are introduced. It's then that you grasp. Otherwise, when you are a latecomer, you become so confused. Sorry for that. But now, I'm looking at one of the slides here as a latecomer, as I've said, the mission of Psyche to empower people whilst continuously developing sustainable business tourism in Southern Africa. Well, it might be a stupid question though, but for my sake, I just want to know if Psyche or let me just be blunt. Do you ever help people to start businesses? Right? I was just listening when you were talking about forums. I took interest in this one, exhibition. And I said maybe you can elaborate more on that forum. What do you exhibit? What do people exhibit, actually? And still listening to, I like this name, you know, Nina. Listening to Nina, Nina says fundraise. We all know that if you want to make money, more especially when you are dealing with communities, with whatever, you must try and fundraise. Just on that one too, I have interest to know about the ways in which you go about with your fundraising. I think I will just stop there. Because why I am referring to this one, with businesses, you know, with tourism, people would love to run small businesses like, you know, B&Bs, guest houses, whatever you... But now you find that it's such an experience for them to get help. Let me just say that. I don't want to elaborate what kind of help. And in such a way, it becomes a failure. Thank you.
Over to Patrick.
I'm going to try and then I'll ask Chair to answer. I think the provinces, ma'am, is a very good question that we haven't targeted them. I just want to take a step back. I think if you're going to start a business, I'm going to mix this up a little bit that I would like to try and answer, is that you've obviously got the startup capitation that you need to start, and you want to pay yourself a salary, and you need to pay the school fees. So one of the reasons within the provinces, we've had to look at, we are very happy to have a branch in any area of our country. So if Limpopo wanted to have a branch, we looked at Nelspruit, for example, if they wanted to have a branch. The challenge that we face is that we have got the people that we pay out of our budget is our three staff members. We've got offices in Johannesburg, hugely subsidized, to give you an indication. They had Gallagher Estate, but they actually give us sort of I think it's like free. We pay so little, I think it's for free. Because they are a member, they appreciate the value of it. So we're getting that sort of, ma'am, that sort of fundraising support. And then if you've got, for example, in any one of our branches in the Eastern Cape, we have a huge challenge because our membership is so small there. I can't remember the slide now, but it's so small. To get, for example, the chairperson, they'll say, okay, well, who is going to chair? Okay, well, I'll chair.
because nobody else really wants to chair, because this don't get paid. It's voluntary, it's uplifting, it's like working for the chamber of business or whatever, it's in that, or the women's committee, or, you know, the PTA at the school. It's something that you're passionate about and how to take it to the next level. I'm very passionate about it. I don't see immediate feedback because I'm the chair. I don't get business because of it. The clients don't choose my company because of that. But I know that if we make it better, it's going to be better for everyone. So that's you either do that or you don't. So would we like to have more provinces? We would. If there was funds to do it, that would be great because we don't pay the branch chairs. The other association that I'm involved in, ICA, for example, they've got an office in South America. They're looking at having an office in South Africa. They would then pay for that office space. We do not have that financial capacity at this point in time. But to grow membership, yes, and potentially the small business people, I think if we had a little office, it could be one lady, maybe she works mornings only, a desk, a badge, the advertising man that you talked about, I think that would help. But financially, it is just not viable to us at this point in time. So do we advertise? You know, it's not something that you buy into. We don't sell a product. We sell a passion. We're selling professionalism, what we sell. Advertising is also usually costly. We do advertise. There's an official magazine, the Conference and Events magazine, that is our official publication. We don't pay for it, but we give them the rights to be there, so we advertise in that. So if you're in the sector, you'll know about us. If you've got a small B&B, we're going to sign you and say, how's it, man? Come and join. So that is how we operate. Do we help people start businesses? Indirectly, the answer is yes. Directly, no, we can't. But if they want to phone up, and for example, we also pay a little bit of money each month to the secretaries of each of the branches. We give them a token amount of 4,000 rand just to run the meetings, take the minutes, for example. But if they phone the secretary in the Eastern Cape or Western Cape and say, hello, normally those are older people that have been in the industry, have now retired, and they ask for assistance, how can I do this? We give them that assistance. If they come to our functions, which are very cost-effective, normally sponsored, when we talk about fundraising and sponsorship, Southern Sun would be a member. We'll say, listen, man, it's for Saki. Oh, please, man, don't charge us. Can you make a plan? So we rely on the goodwill of our membership to fundraise and get that support. So if a new B&B person came about, or a person that has got a factory and they're selling T-shirts, they want to do little gifts or nice things, I have seen members join and actually have given feedback to our members at function saying, you know, because I'm here, because I'm talking to this one, this one's got the transport, this one's got that, bless you. We network like that. And that shares business and helps people at the end of the day. So we have seen people grow their businesses because of the network and the understanding. And say, listen, I'm doing this tender. This tender's too big for me. Can you come in with me? Okay, you're a Saki member. We operate under the same code of conduct. Therefore, let's work together. That often happens. So there's a direct benefit there. I can't, when they sign a membership, saying to them to guarantee that they're going to get business. It's not going to happen. But working together, there is definitely benefit. And I think that, you know, that is what we're trying to do. I think the onus to start a business, I would like to agree with you very much. It's very difficult today to start a business. You know, to just go out there, to pay licensing fees, staff, all of that, I think it's very, very hard. I don't think it's easy. The business, the hotels are crying, there is no business. I think to have a small B&B and you're not marketing exactly as you're saying, man, the advertising is a big challenge. Our sector is feeling it. I'd like to just answer about the exhibitions, and then I want to also answer about the support from South African tourism. The exhibition forum, we don't really sell stuff, goods or whatever, but basically if you have a conference, normally there's an exhibition linked to it. So if I use the example earlier of the water conference, will be here in Cape Town at the CTICC, they will have an exhibition component, quite large. So the people will talk about the academic stuff about water and chemicals and all that stuff and E. coli, and then during tea time there'll be an exhibition. So our members who fall under this exhibition forum, they build the stands, they are electricians, they would help with whatever is related to in that exhibition, all that stuff that you see, selling the plants, bringing in a fridge, cleaning, certification, engineer certificate, all of that. So they fall under that, and they're quite specialized as well. And that's another service. So, and there are a number of service providers there. They're the big ones and the small ones. So that is what that forum represents. With regard to South African Tourism, we do work quite closely with them. Now, at the end of February, there's Meetings Africa, which is the conferencing sort of meetings trade show at the Sandton Convention Centre. And we will help them. We put together educational forum. There are two workshops that anybody that's interested can come to. The one is about service excellence, and I completely forgot that the other one was impact of the meeting industry. Impact and how it can work. We've got international speakers, so we work quite closely with them. They also give us a little bit of financial support, very little. It's 100,000 rand. You can't do very much with that once you've paid salaries. And in a way, we would like to get more funding, but we don't. Because when we don't like what they're doing, we want to be in a position to say, we don't like that. So we want to keep our independence in a way as well, so that we're not seen to be part of government. So we need to work closely hand in hand, and I think there's a very good relationship. We don't always agree, but we will have a glass of wine afterwards together or eat something together. So we are friends, but we need to keep our independence so that, you know, we can work hand in hand.
Sorry, Chair. Are you almost working as NGOs or whatever?
Exactly, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, I don't know if my colleague would like, but Aideen would like to respond.
I'd like to just say also that the members of SATI are incredibly generous people. So we don't raise funds, huge funds, in terms of being able to, for example, sponsor a student through their university. That is done through the branch and the surplus that the branch actually generates through their events. But I also want to say that whenever we appeal to our members at the various functions to please support, for example, we heard a plea from Miss Earth with regards to the amount of children that have started school this year who don't have the proper stationery to go to school with. We, at our event last week, we appealed to all of our members who were joining us at the event to please bring some stationery. And people are generous in that way. So in many ways, our branches support and fundraise in their own way. They will gather Christmas presents for underprivileged children, and they go instead of their Christmas party at the end of each year, they go to those charities and hand out the gifts. So I think our members are very generous in that way, and if we appeal to them, they're always willing to make a contribution in somewhat way. Thank you, James.
Okay, thank you very much. I noticed here that we have been joined by the Shadow Minister of Tourism, Mr. Faro. You are welcome, the new deployee to this committee from the Democratic Alliance. Mr. Faro, you are welcome. Participate like any other member. This is your committee. This is our committee, if you at all.
And I feel so good. He's of my age.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, the faces around the table are very familiar to me. I look forward to working into this very key portfolio in terms of both our economy. I've just come from transport, and I apologize firstly for being late, but my previous minister, was there to address the committee on very crucial issues of which I had key input into as the previous transport shadow. But my apologies for being late. I did send a message to Jerry, and I really look forward to working here. There are many cross-cutting issues between transport and tourism, I've noticed when I read them. And I've already been in touch with many agents of tourism that have problems with that associated problem, and I will address them, no doubt, with transport as well. So thank you very much for your kind words, and I look forward to working together with you in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Farrell. Well, in fact, the with regard to the new draft, the tourism bill, are you having any specific concerns that you have on the whole bill? In which areas is so? You see, sometimes because that bill has been circulated to all the other role players. It has been circulated to us as well, but it is not yet our time to comment. What we were waiting for was for comments from different stakeholders. Do you have anything specific now that even before we look at the draft? We just wanted to ask that question. That is the first thing. The second thing, the issue of statistics is our concern as well, because firm statistics we tend to get 5 years later, and it is the concern of the committee, and we are trying very hard to assist as well to make sure that at least it should not be 5 years, it should be about 2 years or so. But that satellite account depends on indirect information most of the time. And the immigration and then the forms that are signed, well, they go some way, but I don't know whether they go far enough. And what about people that are coming by road to South Africa? And so forth. It is a problem the committee is really concerned about as well, because it's very difficult to deal with such things. But whether they are going to employ people like who can project at least with some reliability, I do not know. Because, for instance, in the insurance industry, you have that type of projection by actuary. In the tourism industry, we estimate, but we are not satisfied about the estimate as the committee as well. We have called the satellite account committee. I do not know exactly the name, but it's satellite something. So we are also concerned in as far as that is concerned.
If I can respond, I'd like to perhaps send to Jerry for circulation to the committee that Mexican report. It's really interesting. I won't worry about the technology now, but to show you, but they've actually broken it down where they can tell you who is a conference delegate, who is local, who is international. But one of the other interesting things about conferencing is that, for example, if I organize in my individual capacity a world conference for a client, and I'm anticipating 1,000 delegates or 500. The Mexican statistics say that they were looking at like 47% would then be from the local source market, and the balance is then international. So say, for example, you've got 1,500 are local, 500 are international. And we've seen that with some of the events that we've had, that if your conference is only financially successful if you've got good local support, so you get the local people coming to whatever conference it is, and then you get the international because of the long-haul distance. So when one then starts to calculate the statistics about what the spend is, what are people spending, that also worries me. How do they get to that figure? I'm like, oh, you see, I think they're guessing a little bit. So I share that with you. One of the other challenges that I think we have, if you organize a conference, South African Airways or the Star Alliance Group, you apply for a group code, and what it does is you can then, on your website for the conference, you can then say, this is a special group code, because normally the associations know where people are going to come from, because they know, okay, this is the heart surgeons, okay, lots of Americans, for example. So South African Airways will then give you airfare, and they will then give you these fares from New York or whatever the case may be. But what they don't do, and then they can, from that, whoever clicks on that link, they can then say, oh, okay, Mr. Stewart came, Mr. Shabalala came, whatever the case is, they can tell you that.
But if those people fly with Emirates or with Lufthansa, or not Lufthansa, with Starlines, but with another airline outside of that agreement, that just falls through the net. And we actually then don't have any true reflection or accurate statistics to know what that is. So I think that is the sort of challenge that we have. I don't know if there's a home affairs thing or that people can fill in, that there's some sort of software. And I don't know if I'm sure that we've got the resources and capacity and we've got clever people, and I'm sure we can do it if anywhere else in the world. If they are able to say, okay, when people log into the country, so why are you coming? You know, no, I'm coming shopping, or no, I'm coming to this conference. Because you must be able to know what interest. So even if we can get like a top margin of a big international event of how many people came. With COP17, I worked quite closely with Thompson's, because they reported to the city, reported to Durco, and they estimate that the accommodation revenue for COP17 was 100 million rand. Now, I can tell you that I don't think everybody booked with them. Because if this one has his auntie or his uncle that's staying there, or my friend, or I'm staying at that B&B, or that B&B didn't contract with Thompson's, if I had to guess, and we put R5 on the table and we all have a guess at it, I would say 100 million would maybe be Thompson's, but I think the other 100 million could be potentially people booking elsewhere or staying wherever or making a plan or getting an apartment or whatever the case may be. So I think all of a sudden, how do you then, you know, extrapolate those figures at the end of the day, which I think is a little, I don't think we really, really know. But I think we do need to have some sort of model, and I think we need to put some money on the table as Parliament, as government, or whoever it is. I don't have that sort of money. I'm sorry, I can't put my hand up this time. But some sort of money, and I think there are Mexicans, like we can have access to that. How many US dollars it cost them for the Mexican government to do that research? It was done in 2010, but I think, and then they hosted COP that year as well. Yeah. So they did it. You know, the other thing with ICA and with SARC is that people will share information. You know, we've already got inroads. So if our DG spoke to their DG, they would share. People don't mind sharing. They're not going to lose anything. So I think we have access to try and find out how did they do it, what did they do, to actually use those case studies. So I think we just need to knock on those doors, and I can assure you they will add them. The draft bill. Chair, I think we work on this a lot. We put in a lot of input. We feel hugely frustrated. It's a beautiful brochure. It's fabulous. But hello, nothing's happened. That happened. It wasn't last year. It was the year before it was submitted. That stuff's old. Hello. If we want to compete globally, our turnaround time and our effectiveness, we're just not quick enough. We do not take the ball and run with it quicker. We're competing with the Thais, we're competing with whoever it is. Those guys are aggressive. We have to turn around quicker. We've got that bill, these things that have been said, I don't think anything's happened, so to put it bluntly.
Now, in fact, I'm interested in what you have said, that your concern.
For the draft bill?
Yeah.
We gave quite a lot of input, and I think a lot of what Adeen, with a subcommittee that we formed, as well as all of us gave feedback. So I think a lot of our comments were included. So we're very included. We're very happy with that. That consultative process. Maybe you want to comment. But okay, all right. Now we've consulted. Okay, now what?
For you, if I may just say that our biggest concern always is that I think there's a knowledge. I think what happens is that tourism is tourism, but there definitely is the subsector of business tourism which we are not getting recognised for. And even in the draft bill, there is no specific mention. And that was one of the issues that we raised, that say that wherever tourism is referred to in the bill, that it should actually refer to business and leisure tourism. I think that business tourism is definitely quite often overlooked, and I think that business tourism provides into the GDP of the country a lot more than what we all know or are able to quantify.
No, later, in every way of conclusion, really, I think we have appreciated your input, and it is a very, very valuable input. And you are indeed a voice and for business, to the business tourism industry. And I think we shall value our partnership. And then when we have the bill where we feel that we've got to consult, I think you shall be one of the people the committee will consult because of your performance, because of your experience, and because of what you do. You have membership for people that participate in conferences, and individual members pay about 1,300, and then companies a little more. And companies is 3,500, and then and so forth. We shall spread the word that you exist as well. But I'm of the view that there should be more public effort to increase the profile, because you are a voluntary and non-profit organization, and therefore, but at the same time, there is public benefit for the country. And as we shall discuss this between ourselves as well, and see that how best to support. And as you know, the National Tourism Department accounts to us. We shall also ask questions about the partnership particularly, and the things that they think they shall benefit from the association. And there are a number of areas like the issue of the visa waiver, which we discussed with the Department of Home Affairs some time ago, and then at that stage they said the real issue was where there was security matters, and I think we shall have to revisit our notes and see then how we take that matter further, because we have received it from one or two players before, and then this is another distinct viewpoint which we shall then have to consider. The issue of the Mexican model in statistics, I think we agree that you should send a copy to Jerry, because I think we have a lot to learn from those experiences. In as far as the development of youth, and then the accreditation, and then the issue of services sector, and so forth, I think you need also to discuss that with the Department of Tourism and the Department of Tourism. Given the fact that we are having now the Convention Bureau, I think everybody accepts that business tourism is a major part of tourism, and it has got to be recognized as such by everyone. That point is taken, but I think it is a question of advocacy and promotion, and then if you advocate, do send us copies of your advocacy as well to some of the agencies like the department, like SA Tourism, and then if you want to appear in their promotional strategy, Now I do not remember you appearing there. I see different countries, efforts to South America, Portugal, France, and so forth, but I've never seen a portion dedicated to business tourism as such. So I think in our oversight as well, we are going to interact in as far as that is concerned, because it has been an eye-opener. The issue of the other matters, the national tourism, the NTSS, we are so used to this thing sometimes, you know what it is when you use the abbreviation, but all of a sudden, well, now you've got to say national tourism strategy, sector strategy. Yes, you mentioned that, and then I think that has benefited you. If perhaps you have a problem with this new strategy, just send Jerry a letter, and then we take it from there, because ours is oversight. But given the fact that ours is oversight, but we are also public representatives on the other side. So with those few words, I wish your organization success, and then in the process, the Southern Africa much more success, and so that we can be the best country we can be as South Africans and as part of Southern Africa. Thank you, Ms. Pretoria. Thank you, Ms. Kringer. We really appreciate your input. So from here, we shall be having Mamzigala.
Thank you, Chair. I know it's being rude after the chairperson has summarized and thanked the people, then a member says something. I apologize for that. But I just wanted to know from the girls, how do you go about with the women organizations? Because I think they're very important, you know.
I'm the last to say, because I don't want to be in trouble with the chair after he's closed, Chair. But we are very big on that.
I we can see.
you can rest assured, man.
The deputy chairperson of the women and the disabled here in Parliament. So she makes sure that the cause of women is promoted. Let us break for about 10 minutes, and then we shall be coming back as a committee now, for consideration of last minutes of the last meeting. Thank you.
Hi.
Are you well?
Yes, I am. She is really outside, and we invite you to join us as well.
Thank you. Minutes because of the length of the week.
Okay, let us then start with the minutes of the 22nd of November. For purposes of record, attendance. So page 1, attendance adopted, page 2. What has happened to Mr. Blige, and who is going to replace her if she is removed? Is she in or out, or if she is out?
She's out. She's now going to transport.
Transport.
Yes,
okay.
Because of the Washala aircraft.
Oh, the only one. Okay. Right, National Planning Commission. It was mainly a presentation, just in the issue of what was presented. The summary of the presentation. Page 2, no problem. Page 3. The issue of Tandy, I don't think anyone had a problem with Tandy.
Yes.
And the diagnostic overview. And then page 4, low carbon economy, urban and rural spaces, quality of health care, improve education and training, build capable state, fight corruption, transformation and unity. That is page 4. Any problem?
No.
Then there were committee concerns. Then number 4 was the National Planning Committee responses. Page 5. Page 6.
I know I wasn't there, Chair, but it's at the bottom of page 5 for Jerry's attention there. It's 4 to 6 months, not months, otherwise we'll be fine.
Okay.
That's
the
problem with Celtic.
Anyone proposing adoption? Farai?
Proposing adoption, Chairperson.
Any seconder? Malule. Farai proposed Malule again. Seconded. Then the next set of minutes. Let's have 1 minute as well, just to check the attendance and check. Page 1, attendance. No problem. Then page 2. No problem. On page 3, it's easy to read through because. Okay. Anyone proposing adoption?
I propose the adoption of the minute.
Any second? Okay, we are through with our minutes and the business of the day.
No, I want to ask something to put
it.
In terms of the arrangement of our political discussion.
Everything
that concerns me, because I'm having a concern. If then we agree on the truth, and then in the middle, I'm talking about